Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Repentance and the forgiveness of sins. How many times have you heard that phrase? A lot, right? And when you hear something over and over again, there is a tendency to get bored with it. So do you sometimes wish we could focus and dwell on something beside the repentant sinner in dire need of God's grace in Jesus? There are those who claim to be called by God into the office of the holy ministry who repeatedly preach about things other than repentance and forgiveness. It's not hard to find preaching about fulfilling your destiny, overcoming your fear, believing a miracle is just around the corner. You just have to wait for it. Chasing a vision, seeking prosperity, improving morality by doing X, Y, and Z. This stuff pours out of American evangelicalism, those churches apart from any mainline denomination. We may scoff at this type of preaching because as Lutherans we feel like we have to. But these topics are tantalizing. They appeal to us because in one way or the other, they are about us and we like to hear about ourselves. We like to hear about what we can do, what we can be, what we can achieve. And so it's no surprise, preaching about the person and his or her capabilities and bright future is popular and satisfying to the flesh. Hearing about your potential for success and works done to receive divine favor might tickle itching ears for a bit. But there's a reason American evangelicalism has the documented problem of keeping members for long periods of time. Hearing about and trusting in yourself is satisfying until you find yourself in the throes of despair and angst. When you sin and you feel that burdened, heavy conscience and think the hot wrath of God is pouring down from heaven on your weary body, it becomes apparent. Trusting in yourself in any way, shape, or form will sink you into despair. Jesus did not die and rise, as the scriptures teach, only for us to lean on our strength and or think we don't need a Savior completely for salvation. My friends, when the storms come, and they will, only Christ Jesus is your redemption. Are you tired of hearing about repentance? If you are tired of it and bored with it, then likely it's because you think you really don't need it. Jesus doesn't see it that way. He commands repentance and forgiveness to be preached in his name because we need to hear it. Doesn't matter how long you've been a baptized believer, one doesn't graduate from needing to hear God's call to repentance. One of the symptoms of the sinful nature is we forget God's mercy. We forget how precious the gospel is, and so we forget our need for it. We forget our need to crying out for grace in light of our dreadful sins and seek our gracious Savior who put himself on the cross to sacrifice his sacred flesh to cover our iniquity and present you as his perfect bride without spot or blemish. Being bored with this and tired of it only means we've lost that realization and understanding that we are sinners who cannot ascend to heaven by our own power. The flesh profits nothing. Apart from God, one is spiritually dead. One of the petitions we pray in the Lord's Prayer is, lead us not into temptation. Luther's meaning of this petition is for God to guard and protect us so that the devil, the world, and our sinful nature may not deceive or mislead us into false belief, despair, and other great shame or vice. False belief. That means believing in something that isn't true, like the lie, one doesn't need repentance because they are righteous by themselves. We pray that God protects us from falling into false belief, thinking there are other things, better things, than being a passive recipient of God's love and His great joy freely yours in Christ and Him crucified. You know, we always think we're stronger than we really are. We think we can do more than we can, but then comes the rush of great waters in life when we're submerged by our sins, by the sins of others who hurt us, sometimes deliberately. The rush of great waters in life submerges us when we realize our flesh is decaying. Suddenly, activities of our youth are hard to do, and we recognize that our bodies are dying. But the wonderful thing about godly repentance is it is the exact opposite of trusting in your own strength. It means despairing of your flesh, of yourself, and turning to the one who does love you, the one who has rescued you from those waters, the one who is with you until the end, even through death. The great joy in repentance and faith is knowing your sins are covered completely, and God really, truly, freely loves you. All of Scripture really is about this. God's love for His fallen creation, manifested and revealed in Christ and Him crucified and raised on the third day to reconcile all of creation back to God. Jesus Himself says the Scriptures are about Him. When you read the Old Testament and discover something that sounds like a reference to Jesus, don't be surprised. It is. Jesus says the Scriptures testify to Him. And His word is fulfilled by Jesus, who infiltrated fallen creation and rescued it from the cords of sin and death by His cross and blood. When Jesus ascends into heaven, He does so free from infirmities, adversities, and satanic persecution of this world. His divine exaltation is on full display. His raw majesty is before His disciples. The exalted Christ in His physical body is free from pain and want as He leaves His disciples to take His place at the Father's right hand. All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus, who reigns above the heavens, and He will return in glory. One of the things that we confess in the creeds is the resurrection of the body. We share in the resurrection of Jesus. We will bodily rise again when our flesh will no longer be polluted by iniquity. The baptized believer will have a glorified body as we share in the very glory of God. I want you to think about what that means. If you've ever thought that the forgiveness of sins doesn't sound as good as having a healthy body free from disease, think about this. The resurrection of your flesh granted to you by Christ is in your possession because your sins are forgiven. They are put away, and so eternal life, the resurrection of the body, is your inheritance. Your Savior has died to redeem you, which means you live now with your sins washed away. They are not counted against you, and thus you have a resurrection of the body to behold in just a little while. Even as you suffer, as you languish, as you age, your sins are paid for, and you have an everlasting kingdom to anticipate, and it's yours in Jesus. This is to say, the forgiveness of sins is inseparable from the resurrection of the body. When you see your God in your flesh redeemed, restored, pure, and spiritual. No more sinful nature, no more wrangling with temptation. On that day you go to be with your Lord and your God. Christ has ascended in his glorified body. And in Philippians we hear that promise that the Lord will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. There's another point that needs to be made regarding Jesus' ascension into heaven. Confessional Lutheran literature on this point, on the person of Christ, to be specific, usually makes the theological point that just because Jesus has ascended in his physical body does not mean he is now locked in heaven, incapable of being with his people. The divine Christ is still with his church. When you take the Lord's Supper, you are receiving into your mouth the true body and blood of your Savior, even as he rules over all creation, seated at the Father's right hand. God is not limited in that respect. He is with you always to the very end of the age, even as he has ascended to heaven. We should all approach this table with repentant hearts, aware that we really are beggars before God, who can only repent and receive the gifts that he bestows. And here you have the promise that the ascended Christ still meets you. He meets you at this table, and so you consume his true body and his true blood into your mouth for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And when Jesus ascends to heaven, we hear that he does so while blessing his disciples. All of their sins, all of their mistakes, their doubts, their fears, forgiven by their Savior, who blesses them and gives them the great joy of knowing their God is gracious and merciful, their God forgives them, their God lives. Go with that blessing, the blessing of your sins forgiven, the blessing of the undying, merciful love of Jesus, your risen and ascended Savior, who forgives you and who is with you always to the very end of the age. Amen.